Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in. God's given us another good day to love Him and serve Him and thank Him for all that He's doing for us. That's going to be a hot one, I think, but that's okay, too. We need some hot weather, some cold weather. All of that goes together. We'll be meeting this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ at 10 o'clock here in Athens, Alabama. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens. It's just off Highway 31. We'd love to have you come and be with us if you're in the area. 10 o'clock is our service this morning. We'll just be meeting one time. We're only meeting one time during this coronavirus period, but we'll be meeting then, 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you with us. That service will also be broadcast online. You can catch it on our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. Check that out. Or it's also on our website. You can go to eastside-church.org and click on the media page and look at the online streaming. So we'd love to have you visit with us either online or in person this morning if you can as we worship our God. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today, that's for sure, and we've been talking about things relative to that off and on for the last several weeks, whether we're talking about the social justice movement or the problems with the coronavirus. There's a lot of things in Scripture that really help us understand how we should, you know, take all of this and how we should think about it. The Bible is a great guide. It gives us everything that we need to pertains to life and godliness. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't really want to listen to the Bible. We'd rather listen to somebody on the internet or some TV news anchor or just almost anybody else. It's interesting to me as we look at all that's going on in our world today, it's interesting to me to see what people believe and why they believe it. There's a lot of difference of opinion and difference of belief concerning the things I just mentioned, the political atmosphere in our country, the social change that's going on, the virus, a lot of different ideas. Of course, in Alabama here, we've had the social masking, the masking order, rather, that came out this last week, and everybody has different opinions about that as well. And it's interesting from this standpoint. People are believing different sources, aren't they? I mean, somebody will get on the internet and they'll see an article or a commentary or a blog, a news story that says this, and somebody will get on and they'll see one that says the opposite, and people have sometimes really strong beliefs, strangely, based on what they have read on the internet, of all things, because we know how reliable that is. But that's what we're seeing in our country right now. A lot of different beliefs, a lot of different convictions about things that are just based on what people say, that may not know a whole lot more than we do sometimes. Sometimes they do. Question is, you know, what do you believe, and what source do you trust? I'm afraid a lot of us are not very critical in our thinking about what information we accept, what information we believe. You know, we'll see it on a Facebook post or whatever, and then we'll take that as gospel. But oftentimes, again, information that human beings put out is flawed. It can be purposely manipulated. The person can just be mistaken. He could be passing on something that he saw or heard that really he hasn't checked out, he or she hasn't checked out. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for why people believe the different things they do about a lot of different issues. Somebody one time said that for every credibility gap, there's a gullibility fill. So, you know, if people can't be trusted to tell the truth, nonetheless, they'll find somebody who believes what they say, no matter what it is. And unfortunately, while so many of us are just accepting what, you know, the media is telling us or what we're seeing on social media or whatever, we're just accepting that. What we're not doing, unfortunately, in our day and time, and maybe haven't really for a long time, is we're not typically, generally, accepting what God says. The Bible is, of course, God's word. It is the directions for the path that leads to eternal life, and that's what this program is all about. We want to take that path that leads to eternal life, and in order to do that, we're going to need to learn to trust God and His word above anyone and anything else. And that's the principle I'd like to talk with you about this morning. In Romans chapter 3 in our New Testaments, the Apostle Paul writes about some Jews that did not believe in the Old Testament, did not believe God, did not obey God. And he asked the question, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and you may overcome when you are judged. So what the text is really saying there is that maybe there were Jews in the Old Testament times that didn't believe God. Does that mean that God's not telling the truth? Well, no. Their unbelief doesn't change the fact that God is faithful. God can be trusted. He's completely trustworthy. So the statement that Paul makes there is a fascinating way of putting it. He says, let God be true, but every man a liar. Did you hear that? So the attitude that we need to have is God's right about everything. He's just got to be if he's God. If we accept the concept that there is a God, and I think many people listening to this program accept that concept, if we believe that there's a God, then surely he's all-knowing, and he's not wrong about anything. So whatever he says in his word, if we believe the Bible to be his word, that's got to be right. It's got to be right. And anything that anybody else says can't, if it contradicts it, it can't be right. So that's what Paul means when he says, let God be true and every man a liar. We must have unquestioning, absolute faith in God's word, regardless of what men may think or what they think is right. And this gets back to the point I was just making. There's a statement in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9 that applies here. It says that if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So, you know, we'll receive what somebody says on a Facebook post or on some internet blog that we've read or some news broadcast that we've seen, we'll accept that at face value. But oh, if God says, I don't know about that. That's not good. That's not right. God's the one who's always right. Any human being can be wrong about anything. We need to start using a little bit of the brains, basically, that God gave us to figure that out. The source of our information is so important. And not just to accept anything that we're told by people, but to accept everything that God tells us. That's the concept we need to be looking at. So there are times, of course, a lot of times, when men and God disagree. What men say disagrees with what God says. And certainly that concept, that problem was known throughout biblical history. We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and down about verse 18, the apostle says there that the 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? A truer statement's never been made. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. You know, all of the things that we thought we knew 6 months ago, God's flipped them on their heads, right? We were so confident in how the economy was going to be and what the plans were for our coming year, and everybody had their calendars planned and their vacations planned out, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you've got it all figured out, and God allows this virus to come through the world and everything is completely changed. And that's just one small example in human history. God makes foolish the wisdom of the world. The world doesn't have it figured out. It never has had it figured out, but God does. Since Paul goes on to say there, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so the preaching of the gospel is what we need to be paying attention to. There's the wisdom of God. There's the wisdom of God for the ages and on into eternity. That's what we need to be listening to and concerning ourselves with, not the changing opinions or false facts that men continue to put out and believe. In again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul talking about speaking the gospel. He says, we speak among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which was ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, if the people, if the rulers of this world, if the smart people of this world were so smart, why do they crucify Jesus Christ? That's basically what Paul is saying. They killed the Son of God. So, you know, they didn't know what was going on. God knows what's going on. He knows his plan for humanity. He knows why he created this world, what he hopes to accomplish with us going into eternity. He knows all of that. And our idea of what this world is all about, if it runs contrary to what his idea is, it's just wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. In chapter 3 of this book of 1 Corinthians, the apostle goes on to say, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks himself to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. God's wisdom is so much greater than man's. God is knowledgeable and right about everything. Man is certainly not. Back in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13, the prophet said, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who is the counselor who's taught him? With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him? Who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? See, nobody did that. God doesn't take a lesson from anybody. He knows all of this already. We're struggling right now in our society to figure out what justice really is, what it means to have justice for all. God knows what justice for all is. He's planning it for all of us, by the way, at the judgment day. He knows what justice for all is, and he's going to give it, too. He's going to give justice for all one day. But we can't figure it out. We've been, you know, this world's been going around a long time. Human society's been trying to figure out what justice for all means for a long time. We still haven't got it. God does. He knows. Nobody told him. He just defines it. He knows what it is. Man is so changeable, so, you know, up and down, in and out with knowledge and what's right and what's wrong. God is solid. He is unchangeable. The Bible says about him in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 that it is impossible for God to lie. Don't you wish it was impossible for men to lie? But they, you know, we get all this false information all the time from every quarter. And yet God, he can't lie. It's just impossible for him to do that. And if he's spoken in his word, it's right and it's true. Jesus Christ is not a changeable human being. I know a lot of people in not only our culture, but over human history have tried to make Jesus into what they wanted him to be to suit their current problem or their current age, whatever the issue was. But Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13 and verse 8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can't just make Jesus into what we want him to be to suit our current cultural issues. That's not Jesus. Jesus is explained to us in the New Testament. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John explain who he is, who he was, what he did. And the rest of the New Testament talks about what he wants us to be doing, his relationship with his people throughout time. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. See, Jesus' words are solid still today. Somebody says, well, that's 2,000 years old. Well, they're spoken by the Son of God. They were intended to be words for forever. His words don't pass away. A human being can give a statement today that may or may not be factual in their mind today. Tomorrow, everybody says, well, that was wrong. But Jesus, his words last and endure forever. They are the truth. Man has problems even understanding what the truth is. In religious matters, too many are what Paul describes in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, those who are like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So human beings come up with these religious doctrines and they go this way and they go that way. And a whole bunch of people go with them back and forth, like the waves of the sea, like wind that changes direction, and truth becomes something that you can't just get a handle on, because human beings, when they follow human beings, are, you know, back and forth, unreliable. Every wind of doctrine is what Paul describes it as. As we said, Jesus is solid. His word's not changing. But human beings who follow other human beings, who don't know what they're talking about, who use tricks and cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, as the Apostle Paul talks about, they'll lead us astray. And they'll make it difficult to ascertain what the truth is. You know, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 1. These were people who'd accepted the truth of the gospel, but he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." So the gospel is God's word, it's truth, and yet these people became confused and they turned away from it to believe other things than what the word of God says. That history has been repeated, obviously, over and over and over again since the first century, where God has given us, through Jesus Christ and his apostles, his word, his forever abiding word that can be trusted, that is true all through time. And instead of accepting and believing and holding on to that word, we follow all sorts of things that men come up with that can't be found in the word of God. We'll talk about a few of those before we close this morning, so stay tuned for that. But I want to go on with some of these concepts about, you know, God is so wise, by comparison, man is so ignorant. God is so solid, so stable, so unchangeable. Man is tossed to and fro and goes back and forth on what he thinks the truth is all the time. And you don't have to go very far to see that. Just think about what's going on right now in our culture, where history is being rewritten. And maybe the history that we were taught when I was growing up, maybe some of that was inaccurate and it's being rewritten. But the thing is what's being written now, is that accurate? I guarantee you that if there's a generation to come, this world keeps on spinning, a future generation is going to rewrite history again to suit what they think it should say. And so historical truth becomes something that in the minds of men is malleable. We can change it if we want to. We can change it to suit the needs of our culture as we perceive them. God's word isn't like that. God's book never changes. God's word is truth. It's truth we can rely on. Might I suggest then that we get our heads in God's book, that we learn truth that is solid, that is believable, that is trustworthy, and maybe stop worrying about what's going on so much in the world today in the way of information, which changes daily, which is so unreliable that we can't figure out what the truth is about the smallest thing that's going on in our culture. But God's word is truth. It gives us things to believe and a way to live that is solid, that we can count on, leading us to eternal glory. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Jeremiah said, "Lord, behold, you have made the heavens, the earth, with your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. God can do anything. He is so strong. By comparison, man is weak. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. The other thing, if we're contrasting God's power and wisdom and knowledge with that of man, if we're focusing in on this statement, "Let God be true and every man a liar," let's trust God and let's not necessarily trust, you know, every man. What we need to understand about the nature of God is that God is pure. God is holy. In Numbers 23 and verse 19, the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie." We're accustomed to human beings lying or repeating things that aren't true. But God's not a man, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? See, this is the nature of God. He's 100% reliable in what he says. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is pure, unadulterated truth, unadulterated goodness. God is entirely light. In him is no darkness at all. What a statement to be made about our God, about a being who inhabits eternity. He's entirely light. In 1 John 3 and verse 3, John says, everyone who has his hope, has this hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. God is pure. It says about him in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he cannot lie. He promised eternal life, he says. He promised it before time began, and he cannot lie. Here's the nature of our trustworthy God. He is incapable of lying. He is pure light. He is purity itself. Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says about him that it is impossible for God to lie. Well, contrast that with you and me. What about that? What about human beings? Is it impossible for us to lie? Well, obviously not. Is it impossible for us to put out false information? Obviously not. Apparently we're hearing that quite a bit lately. If anybody's wondering about this, you know, if you hear two things that are completely the opposite regarding any matter, they both can't be true. Do we understand that? You know, that just can't be true. One of them can't be, and maybe both of them aren't. So we're hearing a lot of that today, aren't we? Here, all the time. And of course, it's put out by media outlets and others that whose interest is keeping people stirred up so they can keep an audience, and probably for other reasons as well. But all of this conflict and this information and disinformation that's coming at us from every angle in our society today should illustrate to us that, yeah, human beings are well capable of lying, of deceiving, of putting out just a whole bunch of false information. The truth is, from a Bible standpoint, that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Human beings are impure. Human beings have violated the law of God, have done things that are wrong. We all need to own up to that. And that's one of the reasons why human sources of information are unreliable, but God is reliable. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if you're telling yourself right now that you don't have sin, you don't have a problem, you're not telling the truth to yourself. The truth is not in you, the Bible says. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, if you say to yourself, well, I haven't sinned, I don't have a problem with dishonesty or, you know, truthfulness or whatever that is, I don't have problems with sin, you're making a liar out of God. What did we say already? What did Paul say in Romans chapter 3? Let God be true and every man a liar. God is true. Human beings can't be trusted to be true by and large, but God can be. So let's learn to trust his word. Let's learn to trust his word instead of what we've heard about his word. Let's get into God's book. Let's study it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 puts it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't think that, you know, you can figure all this out by yourself. Trust God. Here you have the all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing creator of the universe, who's given you a lot of information in a book that's accessible, surely easily accessible to everybody in America, the Bible, his word contained therein. And we need to be interested in knowing what he has to say. It's as simple as that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the proper attitude toward God's knowledge, his wisdom, his truth, which is true, and man's so-called truth, which is often not true. So what are we saying? What we're talking about is a principle of life that rejects man's wisdom and doctrines as being unreliable. And we reject them regardless of how attractive they may seem, how wise they may sound, whether or not, you know, everybody in our family accepts them, or the preacher that where we go to church, that's what he says, or that's what grandpa said or grandma said or whatever. We accept God's truth. We accept God's truth. And so I want to give you a few examples of that. For instance, there are a lot of people in the world today, you know, religious people, who say they believe in Jesus Christ in the Bible, who will say that baptism doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Have you heard somebody say that? I have. A lot of people say that. Well, and they have some things they'll say to try to back that up, sometimes twisting some scripture to do that. But be that as it may, I just want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Peter's just talked about how Noah was saved in the ark through water, he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. And then he says, there's an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow. The Bible says that like Noah was saved through water in the ark, baptism now saves us. Noah built an ark, an act of faith, and by that he was saved from the flood. If we're Christians, we've been baptized, an act of faith. What did that do? It saved us. That's what Peter says. Baptism saves us. Why in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, when Ananias was talking to Saul of Tarsus, did he tell him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins if baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation? And there's verse after verse after verse in Scripture that plainly shows that baptism does have something to do with salvation. It's critical to it. It's part of a process of hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Christ as Lord, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins in order to be saved. Baptism saves. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. There's not a plainer statement in Scripture. And yet we got people running around with their own human opinions saying, well, I don't think baptism. I've had more than one person say, well, I don't think baptism has anything to do with salvation. And I just say, well, you know, Peter said it does, so I'm just going to believe Peter instead of you. Jesus said it does, so I'm just going to believe Jesus instead of you. You know, human opinions about this don't matter. God's word matters. We got to understand that. Some people running around saying, well, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't fall from grace. Well, Paul didn't know that. He writes to the Galatians that I just mentioned who are Christians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. And he says, you've become estranged from Christ. Now, somebody who's estranged, they used to have a relationship, but now they don't anymore. He says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Somebody says you can't fall from grace. And here the Apostle Paul says the Galatians did fall from grace. Folks, what are we doing? What are we reading? What are we accepting? Here's God's word, as plain as it can be stated. These people fell from grace. Let's look at what God has to say. Let's accept that, not what we've always been told. Some people say, well, you know, you're justified, you're saved by faith only. That's all it takes. Well, the Bible says in James 2 and verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Again, statements can't be any clearer than these statements. And we could go into a lot more detail about all this and show a lot of other Bible concepts that bring these truths to bear. But the point is, we may have heard a lot of things from people, from human beings. If anything in this virus crisis has been shown to be true, it's that you can't believe everything you hear. And that's true religiously. You got to accept God's word. You can believe it. It is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. We hope it's helped you. Hope it's helped you be interested in studying God's word. We invite you to do that. Again, we'll be meeting just at 10 o'clock this morning at Eastside. As you live this your life this week, strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.